Hi everybody, good morning again. I love being part of this church family. I love the fun that we can have. B, wherever you were, you were amazing as the Queen. Thank you to B Dixon. You got a job there, girl. That was pretty good. Perhaps we could sell you, hire you out as a body double for the Queen on those occasions when it's all too much for her. Okay, right, welcome everybody and to the friends and family of John and Angela too. It's lovely to have you here with us this morning. Ooh, it works. Oh. We have been looking at the book of Acts, and that is the history book in the Bible charting the birth of Christianity and the church. And we've also called it here the Acts of Jesus Part 2, because it follows on from Jesus' death and his resurrection and ascension. And we see the followers of Jesus, the apostles, doing exactly what Jesus did, carrying on his work, healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching, teaching, bringing hope and love, bringing new community and family in a new way. And what we're asking here in Maidenhead is, how can we learn from them? What can we learn from their values, their actions, their ways of living, so that we can be people who, like them, bring heaven to earth? Living in community, spreading love, serving one another, seeing the miraculous break out amongst us. God real and alive and changing lives. That's what we want to see here in our congregation and in our community of Maidenhead. So today we're moving on to Acts 9. No talk is good without a Bible map, so I've got one. Most of the action so far has taken place in Jerusalem, where the Red Blob is. Now we're about to move out to Lydda, that I've done in white there, and Joppa, right out on the edge. But big events have taken place in Jerusalem. We're at a point now where we've had massive things happening so far in Acts. We've had Jesus ascending, nearly said Peter ascending. We've had the Holy Spirit coming down on believers. Peter's preached, thousands have come to faith, the church has grown, there have been miracles. We've had the story of Stephen, who grew in faith and signs and wonders and power and was martyred, stoned. We've had the rise of Saul persecuting the new believers, persecuting the church ferociously, and his miraculous conversion on the road to Damascus, becoming Paul and going and spreading the gospel, and more huge church growth. We're about to move on to the story of the Holy Spirit coming on the Gentiles, which is a massive event in church history. But in the middle, we're here today with two seemingly small events, unless, of course, you're the people who are involved in them. So I've called this talk today, Back to Peter, because the story goes back to Peter, and the reason for that picture will become apparent as we go on. What I want to do is just read the passage with you. Here we are, we're on Acts 9, verses 32 to 43, and there are two stories. This is the first one. Now, as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. Immediately he got up. And all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at the time that she fell sick and died. And they washed her body, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make when she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And what I want to do is I just want to look at each of those two events. I'd like to just take a look at Peter himself. And then I want to bring in Caleb and tie that in and ask, what does this mean for us today? It's all very well to have these Bible stories that we can read, but what do they mean for us today? But first of all, I just want to step back and look at these two events. And historical events like that, I like to say, well, actually, God, what are you telling me about yourself? What do they tell me about you? And for me, these two stories we've read tell me that God is interested in individuals. That God is interested in you, and he's interested in me. We are not nameless, faceless parts of a mass of humanity. We're individuals, and that's the way God sees us. We've had lots of history-making events going on all around these two stories, but right in the midst, his eye is on two individuals who needed him, their personal needs. And you know we need to remember that we have a personal God, a Father who loves us, who's interested in us. And all of the Bible is his story of trying to reach mankind with his love and his goodness. Often in the face of us misunderstanding who he is, what he's like, and how good his intentions are towards us. God loves each and every one of us here today, personally, intensely, passionately, fervently, no matter who we are, no matter how we feel about ourselves today, how we've treated him in the past, what stuff we've done. Actually, none of that matters in the light of his incredible love for every one of us. And his heartfelt desire is that we know him and live in that love. And here we see these two contrasting stories, which to me just show how God can reach and touch any of us in any circumstances. They're completely different. Aeneas is a man. Dorcas is a woman. Aeneas, it doesn't say that he's a Christian. Some commentators say he is. I'm not sure he was, actually, because Peter just came upon him. And he had to say, Jesus the Christ heals you, to actually tell him who healed him. Dorcas, we know, she was a Christian. She was a disciple. Aeneas had been sick for a long time. He was paralyzed. Dorcas had been really healthy. And that could be my phone. It's new. Don't know how to turn it off. Sorry. Dorcas just suddenly got sick and died. Aeneas was healed. Dorcas was raised from the dead. Aeneas was probably done publicly. Peter didn't send everybody out. Dorcas, everybody was sent out, and it was a private moment. Aeneas, Peter just found him. With Dorcas, people had implored Peter to come, asked that he could come and heal Dorcas. In Lydda, nothing special was going on. It was a small place. In Joppa, it was a big, important seaport. The contrast in detail. But God still meets, still knows, and still meets them out of his great love. I'd just like us to pause for a moment and just be still. Maybe even close your eyes and just reflect on these two questions that I'm going to ask you. Where do you feel your life is at today? What are the needs that you have in your life today? God wants to meet you in those needs today. So just ask him to, in the quiet, ask him to meet you. Okay. So let's have a look at Peter, the main man in the story. Well, he's had quite a life. He was called by Jesus to be a disciple, a follower. He's seen the things Jesus did. He's protested love for Jesus. He's betrayed him. Then he was restored to relationship with Jesus. He's seen Jesus raised from the dead. He's founded the early church. He's been filled with the Spirit. He's made speeches he never thought he'd make. Thousands have come to know the Lord through him. Here we see him doing what he saw Jesus do. These two miracles that Peter did mirror what Jesus did. Aeneas is like the paralytic who was lowered down through the roof. Do you remember? We have that story in Matthew, Mark and John. Also like the paralytic man by the pool in Bethesda in John. Dorcas is a story very like Jairus' daughter that Jesus did. Peter is doing what he saw his master do. And Peter takes a risk every time. Hence that. He takes a risk to bring the kingdom of heaven into someone's life. And what I want to do this morning is to encourage us to do just that. To take risks to bring the kingdom of heaven into people's lives. And sometimes it can feel a little bit like jumping off a cliff. But as we give our lives to Jesus and we receive his Holy Spirit in us, we have all that we need to do what Jesus did. Just like Peter. And I want to bring in Caleb here, since the morning is partly about Caleb too. Caleb, as we've heard, is an Old Testament character. Angela shaved a couple of minutes off me talk there, giving us a nice little resume. He was one of the Israelites who have escaped from slavery under the Egyptians, where they've been for generations in fearsome slavery. God brings them out through Moses, and they're on the edge of the land promised to them by God. A land that's going to be theirs. It's going to be a place of peace and provision, the promised land. And Caleb, along with 11 others, is sent as a spy into the land to look at it, to see what it's like. And 12 go, 10 come back and go, no, it's terrible. Don't go there. There are giants, the people are scary, it's really frightening, we can't take it. And the people don't. They listen to that fear and they don't take that promised land at that point in time. But Caleb and Joshua were there going, no, we can do this, we can go for it. Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. That's what Caleb says. And I just want to pause there and think, how easy is it for us to be in that place, to know that God has promised us something and then allow fear to hold us back? God's promises, that word promise means divine goodness. That's what God wants to do, overwhelm us with divine goodness and love. There are no conditions on that. That's what he wants to do for every single one of us, overwhelm us with his goodness and his love. We can't allow fear to prevent us from receiving that. I found this really great quote from Nelson Mandela. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. And you know, this has been my testimony. For years, I was a really fearful person, afraid to do anything that might make me conspicuous, that might be out of the ordinary. And what I've learned is that that fear doesn't come from God. Where does fear come from? Fear comes from the enemy. It doesn't come from God. So when I feel that fear, where's that coming from? It's not coming from God. It's coming from an enemy who wants to stop me doing what I am contemplating doing. He wants to paralyze me just like Aeneas in that story. He wants to keep me bedridden. Aeneas wasn't able to do anything. He wasn't really a lot of good for anybody, was he? Whereas there's Dorcas, ooh, she's off doing loads of great stuff. But Aeneas was crippled and bedridden, and that's what the enemy wants to do with you and I. He wants to keep us paralyzed through fear. And I kind of had one of those light bulb moments a few years ago, and I realized I'd lived my whole life like that, paralyzed by fear. And actually, that I was going to make a decision that whenever I was in a situation and I felt that fear, I was going to do it anyway. I was going to do it afraid, because it was the enemy wanting to stop me doing what God knew I could do, because he lives in me. The enemy trying to stop me bringing heaven to earth. So actually, I still feel afraid. But most of the time, and I'm learning, I go, actually, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. Because I'm a bit perverse like that. I'm going to do it anyway. I am not going to be bound up again by fear. I'm going to bring heaven to earth. No, actually, in the end, the Israelites did get into the promised land 40 years later. And all they'd done in that time was wander and be miserable and struggle. And God brought good things out of it, because God always does that in our lives. Whenever we get stuff wrong and go off the path, he always brings us back in good ways. But they could have got there a lot sooner. And how fantastic would that have been, instead of a whole generation missing out? So there we are with Caleb, whose name means bold or courageous. Courage is grace in the face of adversity. Grace is God's riches, God's power, God's goodness, God's blessing, which is available to us because of our relationship with him, established when Jesus died for us. He opened the way for us to have a relationship with God that brings us peace. And when we apply that grace in situations of adversity, difficulty, oppression, opposition, we see new life erupt. Just like that plant in the slide up there. And that's our challenge. Caleb was bold and courageous. He gets his share of the promised land 45 years later. And that says in the Bible, because he wholly followed the Lord God. His heart still followed after God. And this is really interesting. The area he got, what's interesting to me, the area he got is called Hebron. And that actually means alliance, couple, relationship. Prior to that, it had been called Kiriath Arba, land of the giants. So Caleb, because of his boldness and his courage, took the land of the giants, and it became a place of relationship between him and God. And when we walk with God in boldness, difficult places become places of relationship with him. And that new life erupts. Back to Peter. He too has boldness and courage, just like Caleb. He takes the land of the giants as well. He's faced with sickness and he's faced with death, where the enemies got in, and he makes it a place of relationship with God. Enos's name actually means praise. So, what does this mean for us today? Well, I started by saying that the reason why we're looking at Acts is to see how the disciples, the apostles, the followers of Jesus brought heaven to earth. And that's our commission too, in this place where we live. I found this. This was an advert for the BlackBerry Bold. I used to have a BlackBerry before I got that thing that can't work. I loved my BlackBerry. And this was their advert, love to be bold. Now, actually, you can read that two ways. That could be our attitude. We love to be bold. We are a people who love to be bold for our God. You could also read it, love in order to be bold. To be bold, we need to love. So to love people, to love them so much that we want to be bold on their behalf. And we meet people who are struggling with difficulty and opposition and all the things that are coming against them, sickness, depression, to love them enough to serve them, to pray for them, to bring God into their situations, even when we feel fear. To be bold and courageous and face the giants that are around us, of sickness, of sadness, of poverty, of lack, of hopelessness, of grief, of addiction, depression. And we are called to bring the power and the presence of God into those situations, just like Peter did with Aeneas and Dorcas, and see them changed by Jesus. I want to be a Peter and a Caleb. I want to be bold. I want to face the giants, wholly follow my God, and take the land that's occupied by the enemy, so that Maidenhead becomes a place like the promised land, a place of God's provision and God's peace. I want to go and do what Jesus did and see heaven come to earth here. What wouldn't Jesus do? We often wear, some people wear those wristbands, don't they? WWJD, what would Jesus do? But I like this, what wouldn't he do? He would go to any lengths for any person to bring them God's love and his power and his presence. And I want to be like that. Jesus asks us to go and tell the good news about the peace, the provision, the love, the forgiveness, the new life, the relationship with Father God, the physical healing that he has for us, and also to do what we saw him do, just like Peter, to take risks and see God turn up, to love, serve, and pray for people in need. Earlier in Acts, in Acts 4, we saw Peter pray this: Lord, give your servants fearless confidence, boldness, in preaching your message as you stretch out your hand to us in healings and miracles and wonders, done in the name of Jesus. That's my prayer. Lord, give me boldness. Give me boldness. And my goodness me, God answered that prayer in Peter, didn't he? And if he answered it for Peter, he'll answer it for us. And I just really want to take this morning just to encourage all of us to do just that. I know people are doing just that. I'm going to read you a testimony in a moment. But I really want to encourage us to take this up, because there's no other way the kingdom of heaven is going to come in Maidenhead unless we do it. It's not going to drop miraculously. We're the ones God has entrusted. We're the ones he's given his spirit to. We're the ones he looks at us, he says, you are amazing. Do you know how amazing you are? And I want to work through you. Don't stop me. Don't stop me. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about God imploring people through us to be reconciled to him. Let's not stop him. Let's be bold. Let's take those risks. You probably have read in the weekly news the testimony that I put in there. I really want to put testimonies in that weekly news every week. And if you have a testimony of where you've done a small thing, being bold and taking a risk, email it to me and let me put it in there. But Dorothy, bless you, you've had a morning, haven't you, Dorothy? This is your moment, Dorothy. I wonder if you read Dorothy's testimony. Now, Dorothy, I asked her if I could read this out this morning, and she said she could. I could do. Dorothy has not ever done anything like this before. Okay, listen to this. After going to sanctuary on Saturday, filled with God's love, how can you not be after that morning? I was there, I agree. I went to see my niece and her friends finish the Race for Life in Windsor. Gina, my niece's friend, has been diagnosed with cancer now for 3 years and has recently found out that she also has leukemia. I have seen her a few times before and wanted to offer prayer but had not done so. But on Saturday, I looked at her when the song You Are Beautiful was playing on the loudspeaker. Without hesitation, boldness, I went over to her, held her head in my hands, looked her straight in the eyes and said that I thought that this song was for her. She was beautiful, that God loved her loads. She was crying, so my niece came to comfort her, and I asked if it was all right if I prayed for her. She said yes, so I prayed for her healing and also for my niece, since she was there. It felt the most natural thing in the world to do. It's amazing what happens when we allow God's love to flow. Thank you, Dorothy. Do you know we can all have moments like that? And it is the best feeling in the world to know that you have partnered with your Father God and you've brought a touch of heaven into somebody's life. If you don't risk anything, you risk even more. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you don't take a risk in knowing him, you'll risk missing out on the most extraordinary relationship of your entire life with a God who cares passionately about you. If you don't take a risk in being bold and stepping out, you'll miss the incredible thrill and privilege of partnering with God to bring heaven to earth and see people's lives transformed. So, will you decide to take a risk? It really, really is worth it. I just want to finish there just with some prayer. I'd like to pray over three things. I'd like to pray for anybody here who doesn't know Jesus and wants to experience that amazing relationship. I'd also like to pray for boldness. I'd like to break the fear, the paralyzing grip of fear that has us. And I'd like to pray for healing for people this morning. And I'm going to do those things in three different ways. So, what I just want you to do is just close your eyes and bow your heads. And let's just go for us where God is. Where you sense God being for you. Let's just go there right now. He might be in front of you or behind you or in you or a little way away from you, but let's just focus on him. If you don't really know Jesus in the way I've been talking about him, and you'd like to, and you just want to say, you know what? Okay, I want to take a step towards that this morning. While everybody else's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just lift your head and look at me so that I can just acknowledge that you want to do that? Okay, that's good. Okay. If you can feel your heart beating faster, butterflies in your stomach, that could just be God saying, come on. I love you. Come on. Okay, thank you. I just want to pray for those people. Thank you, Lord, that you want to take us on the most amazing adventure with you. And Lord, I thank you that you died for us to open the way for us to know you. We just receive you afresh into our lives today, Lord, every single one of us, whether it's the first time or the umpteenth time, to come in our lives, Lord, fill us. Thank you for dying for us. We just receive you. We just start that adventure with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And please, will you come and see me at the front afterwards, because I would love to pray for you a little more and chat. I'll be here at the front. And the second thing I wanted to do was pray for boldness. So, people, we need to be bold. You can open your eyes, because you can't do this with your eyes shut. We're going to be bold. So, if you would like to know with Peter that amazing prayer of incredible confidence, would you stand? Please. Sorry, I forgot my manners. Wow. So what Peter prayed was this: Lord, give your servants fearless confidence. Give your servants boldness in preaching your message as you, Lord, stretch out your hand to us in healings, in miracles, and in wonders done in the name of Jesus. So Father God, we just lift our hands to you. We lift our hearts to you. Father God, we say, give us fearless confidence. Give us boldness, Father God, to step out in these things for you. Give us boldness, Lord, to bring heaven to earth in people's lives. We know, Lord, we are the way that that is going to happen. So, Father God, we just embrace that and we say, Lord, you know, we are going to feel afraid, but we're going to do it anyway. We are going to do it anyway. And when we feel that fear and we think, I cannot do this, Lord, remind us, Father God, it's the enemy that binds us with fear, not you. And help us face that giant in our own life of fear and slay it and go for it anyway. God, we want to be people who bring heaven to earth. We just partner with you. I thank you, God, you want us to do that more than anything. And you go with us. So release us, every last one of us, from the paralyzing grip of fear. Like Aeneas, you say to us, arise, get up, Make your bed. You've been in it long enough. Arise and run. Run with me. Run with me and have fun like you've never had before. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And the third thing was for healing. Is there anybody here who needs healing? And anybody here who needs healing in their bodies that you know of right now? Chris. Yeah, hands up. Brilliant. Okay, let's pray. I would really like you guys, the prayer team are going to be down here at the front, and they would love to pray with you, and I'll be down there too, and I would like to pray with you. But I'd like us all to pray now over these people. So if you don't mind just popping your hands up again. If you're near them, will you put your hands on them? Lay hands on them. When we lay hands on people, we're just imparting the goodness and the glory of God that's within us. It lives in us, so impart it to that person. And I just want to say to you, the person being prayed for, just receive now. Like Peter said, the Lord Jesus heals you. He heals you right now, so just receive it. It's a gift. Father God, we just speak to sickness in your name. We just take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And we say to each person here, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Hips and backs and stomachs and bodies and legs and arms, be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bring your power, bring your presence. Amen. Amen. Come and see us and have some more prayer.